tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Week 3, What Jesus Said. Big episode. It's great watching it. I'm Charlie Behrens, and across the table from me...
Hi, guys. This is Sarah Stratton.
And Kevin Undergaro.
Initial reactions, guys. What stuck out? Just one thought, almost.
I think it's interesting because, you know, we get before the show, we have like 2 minutes after we watch to wrap it up, get our topics together. And this week, coming up with topics was very easy. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. It's definitely them playing with the pace of the show, mm-hmm. and they kind of give us a new feeling every episode. And this episode was very much taking a step back. Let's dive into a little bit more character, spend a little more time with each of the relationships. We weren't bouncing around as much. It wasn't really we got a little bit of hints of big hurdles that our characters are going to have to jump over, but not a ton of drama, mm-hmm. in my opinion. A lot of psychological conversations, a lot of things that were like kind of flying under the radar. So I liked it, and I was kind of shocked by the change of pace.
Yeah, I definitely...
It was slower, but not in a bad way. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm being repetitive, but this doesn't feel like a show that has 6 episodes left.
I know.
It doesn't when you think of other shows mm-hmm. that are in their last season, mm-hmm. it's revving up. It's getting mm-hmm. faster and faster and faster and faster. And you're...
Or you get shows that are just really tired, where you've had the same relationship so many times that you're like, oh, you're back together. Oh, you're not together. Oh, you're broken up again. Like, and the plot lines get tired. Or the mm-hmm. characters have had a relationship with every single person on the show. And you're just like,
it's tired.
Come on.
Right. It's like,
this
come on.
One, like, for instance, we're just seeing another flash of Nucky Margaret. That could have gone on so much longer. We could have had so many more road bumps in different
you've
directions.
You've got Joe Kennedy, which we'll get into, but it's like, you can go. Yeah. To town with Joe Kennedy.
Everything's still so fresh. Everything still has so much opportunity.
And I think that's what is refreshing about this show, and what always has been refreshing about the show, is that it's rooted in history and it's done very well, to the point where for some people, it's too historical. You know, there's not enough quick drama that we're used to in TV.
And we've talked about that.
Yeah, definitely one of the things I appreciate about it.
I'm sure it's harder even for people who tried to get into this show and didn't want to research the history.
Right.
I think we can be entertained, but like, for instance, we talked about last week, all of like the golden nuggets of names we got, all of the people who were thrown out. And for people who are interested in history or know about it, that makes your mind spin. It makes you live in like, oh, where are they going to take this? Who are you going to know? But if you don't know about that mm-hmm. and you're not taking the time to look it up or interested in it, then that's all flying over your head. And so those minutes where we and people who are interested are getting energized, other people are just like, oh, you know, and that makes it probably seem slower. And
by the way, so at this point in the game, I don't think anyone is not energized. I think all the fans are in.
You know what I mean? If you've stayed on this long, it's because you have an interest in it.
Throw out Hulu, Crackle, all these other places. I get Netflix not wanting to buy it, maybe because they've spent a lot of money and they're making their mark. But some of those other places that need to make their mark, they need to rack up their Emmys, they need to get themselves out there. Write the check to Terrence Winter. Let's get the show going.
Charlie, you missed the spiel last week. Kevin's new idea for the Boardwalk is that another one of the Hulus or so forth is going to should buy it.
I caught that.
Did you get that?
Yeah, and I totally. I'm with you on board. I mean, that should be a Kickstarter.
If you were the one writing the checks, if you wanted to launch, if AfterBuzz was going to go unscripted into right now, we just produce after shows. That's all we do. But if we wanted to now go into scripted, and there's no check I wouldn't write to acquire the show, because you're instantly legitimate in that arena.
At least
of scripted.
In the critical acclaim, especially. Yeah,
but the critical
the
acclaim
talent.
Is what will launch you. That's right. HBO was launched on the critically acclaimed shows. If you think of The Sopranos and the HBO when it really hit its stride, it was through critical acclaim. And then
same
everything else will work. And same with Netflix. Mm-hmm. Everything else will work itself. Ted Sarandos at Netflix. Really smart move with House of Lies, or is it House of Cards? I'm sorry, I always mix it up. Yeah. House of Cards, they spent the money. Kevin Spacey is the lead, and hired the best writers, and look what they got, Orange is the New Black, same thing. And Emmys, and now they are so legit that they have all the cable carriers shaking in their boots. I've heard executives tell me that Netflix is going to cannibalize the business.
It is already. I cut my cable recently.
So just by having legitimate shows. So if you're an executive and you're dumping all your money into whether it's Amazon or Hulu or Crackle or some of these other tiers that really haven't cut their teeth yet, you just write the check.
Yeah.
And you're instantly in, and then we're happy as fans.
Well, I'm all for it. I really hope that comes to fruition, because I hope somebody grabs onto this one. Speaking of which, week 3, the episode's called What Jesus Said. That was a exchange between Nucky and the girl, but there were a lot of Jesus
religious references.
Yeah, especially with the Chalky Buck interaction. What'd you guys think about that? Again, it was very bizarre. I thought Buck was going to hang around a little bit longer, but I guess not.
And I was convinced more and more through the episode that he was going to hang around longer.
Yeah.
Because every time I kind of thought Nucky had a motivation or a chance to, whether it be steal the gun while he was sleeping or, take some sort of action against Buck, he would stake back, take a second, and then Buck would kind of turn out to be right. For instance, it was like the safe wasn't in the cellar, and then you kind of see Chalky have like a reaction, like he could step in, and then there comes the utterance that the safe is actually upstairs, and then they can't get into the safe, and Chalky like gives up, and then the woman admits that it's hers. Like it was constantly like, oh wait, Buck actually is on the right track. Like Buck actually is seeing something more, and so I thought they were building up his intelligence, and especially when he had that whole spiel about all the men's stuff not being there and noticing the razor and noticing the clothes and noticing everything, and then he just was taken. I was shocked.
All tied to his line, "The Lord knows when you're lying," and I think that was resonated throughout the whole episode. That one line. What does it say then? What are we left to believe about Chalky? Are we left to believe that he's not as sharp playing the game to get what he wants? Or, conversely, are we left to believe that he does have a heart where he did not want to violate sexually the daughter?
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do the wrong thing. And he didn't want to do the wrong thing, and he had some kind of conscience. And is that ultimately what's going to save him?
Right. Well, and
so what is it? What is it that you think is being set up here?
I mean, my thought on that was that you have Chalky, who obvious, and they set this up in the Sizzler beforehand with his daughter, and so anytime Buck would get close to doing something, hurting
Fern.
He would step in. Those were the times he stepped in when he made her change. We saw Chalky almost step in. And when he put that gun to the head, I think it was going through Chalky's head, like, this is my time to reconcile with what I did wrong, in having his daughter shot in the head. I thought that we did see a lot of good potential in Buck, and the reason he got pulled away was because of that. And I think that's always going to follow Chalky, and I think he said, Jesus said that you can be forgiven. Jesus was wrong. I think he's going to carry this on his back throughout the rest of this season.
That he can't be forgiven.
That he can't be forgiven.
What do you think about when he said, I am like him, and you need to shut your mouth? you know, when he was telling Fern.
I think that goes straight to what he said. It's a guilt thing. It's
like I'm a bad person.
Yes, Chalky's carrying around this guilt, this turmoil of his like past. But I also think we were supposed to get that there is some. He does have some moral center, where he's he might not forgive himself, but his actions are forgivable.
And I think ultimately this is why he's going to be okay. I think by the end of the series, this is why he's going to be okay. And I think it's always we talk on Sons of Anarchy, but how Kurt Sutter ultimately is going to let this whole universe play out, and it'll be interesting. With Terrence Winter, will this be an ironic ending where it's, you know, it's very gray, or are we going to be left to believe that evil always triumphs and money rules all and man is always violent, or are we going to be left to think that, you know, humanity will being human will prevail? So it'll be interesting. My instinct is that Chalky's going to come out okay.
Really?
Because of that. Yes, because he didn't want to violate the girl.
I always go
to American storytelling.
I don't feel like it's going to go bad for Chalky.
Well, it doesn't mean he's going to end up amazing, but I think he's going to survive this.
I feel like it's either going to be very melancholy or very, like, more sad or separate. I don't think he's going to ever rise back up to the top of where he was, because they're not portraying him to be at the top of his game.
It might be, but it might be something different.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might be a different kind of success.
Well, you know? Interesting. I think... we have another door open for where his story could go, because the last time Chalky left Narcisse, you know, his daughter died, and now Lucky and Narcisse are...
And Manzano
are in this warring thing. You know, killed a bunch...
That was amazing. What did you guys think of that whole sit-down?
The conversation in the beginning?
Between Lucky and Narcisse and Benny.
First of all, I thought the conversation was really great. Really keeps you on your toes. You don't know like how they're going to be cordial, what every line actually means. I found myself really wanting to go back and watch the Nucky Narcisse first interaction.
Yeah, you're right.
I want to go back. I want to compare, because I can't quite remember. I mean, fans might remember, like at the end, they didn't shake hands. And I was trying to remember if that happened before, or if Nucky...
That does sound familiar now that you say it.
I remember there was something about their handshake or something. And they had all those conversations about kings and pawns and chess players.
Yeah.
And so this conversation just made me want to go back to that. And a lot of that stands on the character they've built in Dr. Narcisse, who... He is fantastic. The world they've given him is fantastic.
We can offer you protection. And I love Narcisse saying... You're in Harlem, you're the one who's going to need protection.
But it's like every line of that dialogue always has something else going on.
Just the unstated things that they do were fantastic. Mm-hmm. It goes to the credit of those three actors in terms of this
unspoken. It's like the conversation that's just going on behind all of their words, and it is to the actors.
So, and where do you think this goes from here? It's a war, obviously. It's the beginning of a war. My question at the beginning was, do you think Chalky's going to enter into this war, and whose side is he going to play for?
Well, that's maybe where he steps into that void if Narcisse loses this war.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a spoiler, but, you know, we know in history that Lucky and... Benny, Bugsy, Siegel, Benny, whatever, they go on and live longer lives. So we know that.
Their story does not end in Harlem.
What is interesting is that they've drawn first blood, and they are in Harlem.
Mm.
So they're very much outnumbered, it would seem, to go into the Harlem turf and try to strong-arm them. And I don't know enough about history, whether the mob... was able to run Harlem. I had thought that they worked together. Maybe the mob supplied them, or suppliers for different things, but not necessarily that they had their hooks in there. But I don't know that, so I don't want to say. If it seems like prediction-wise, Narcisse is going to hit them back, because he's not a guy that rolls over. He's he's going to hit them.
Especially on this
he's
going to
hit them hard.
And this hit was...
It's brutal, yeah.
It's something they're going to take. He's going to take personal.
He's going to take
going
so,
after the girls.
Absolutely.
His whole relationship with women in the prior season's been very interesting.
It's been protective. It's been protective,
but he does abusive. Push boundaries with his own hands. But I feel like this is one of the worst. Like, he will have a huge reaction to this.
And it's a race issue. A huge one. And by the way, we saw it in the Chalky scene, you know, with Buck. Buck was and like, you're disrespecting me. And the subtext of what you're saying is that you go, why? Because you don't think I'm educated? I don't know.
I don't even think that was subtext. Cuts. I think he actually said it.
Yeah, he probably he did say something to that effect.
And so
So Narcisse is gonna be batshit.
Yeah.
You came into his house.
Did you
and
feel
did
like
this.
Narcisse was nervous at the end of that conversation?
No, I don't think he gets nervous.
See,
I don't
felt
know.
Nerves. I felt nerves.
I mean,
at the end of him and Lucky's conversation, he was way more fidgety than normal before he buttoned up his coat, and I felt nerves, and that's what swayed me to think, oh, they're going to get him first.
I think uncomfortable because he knew it's like, okay, it's go time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, nobody should, unless you're psychotic, you should not be happy about war.
Right.
You want to be more happy about making money.
Mm-hmm.
However you're going to make it. So I think concerned, but if he were afraid, he would have said, let's talk about this. He would have played them a little bit more, but he just buttoned his jacket and said, okay.
I do feel like in a differentiation between that first conversation with Nucky versus the one we saw today, I think it was noticeable there was a little bit of hardness in him, though, because everybody has a great, like, 7-year weathered demeanor,
right.
Which is fantastic about this season in particular. But I thought Narcisse especially, and right across from the other person who I think does an amazing job with it is Lucky. It was interesting because he's already been through hell. I mean, last season they were right at the crux of a war themselves, and so, you know, I thought it was interesting.
So do either of them need help in this war? Do either of them have to outsource and can't just keep this as a war between themselves?
Well, I do think,
Chalky?
Especially this being a final season.
You mean Narcisse?
No, I'm wondering if he's thinking Chalky's going to come help.
Yeah, well, I do think, because Chalky, in sort of the old, you know, seasons past, Chalky would take care of, you know, the black community, and he would find a working relationship.
But isn't he have such a hair across his ass for Narcisse and his family? And
Right? Right, and so that's why, he kill and
fill
the void?
Oh, you mean Chalky joins the... helps Lucky in that team and takes over and gets put in power.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's his prediction.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, that's fine.
That's accurate.
Moving on, do we want to talk more about Harlem and New York, or did we kind of...
I can also say that my prediction was completely wrong, where I thought we were going to see dancing girls in Harlem, and instead we got dancing girls with Nucky, the same place they'd been.
I know.
I was off, so I have to claim that my prediction was wrong, and I'm sorry, you guys, for false advertising.
No, you know what? My prediction about Buck was that we were going to see him grow throughout the entire season, and
this storyline just really proved us wrong
also,
this week.
We were told seasons ago through... certain parties that we were going to see a lot of the Cotton Club, which we
and
still
it
might.
And hasn't been there. And so we I
still
keep
might,
expecting
or
it.
Maybe because
it's like when Transformers told me there was going to be Dinobots in the whole movie. I was wondering.
Because it's got cut short, we may not see it, but we don't know. We don't know.
All right, cool. Let's move on to Margaret and Caroline. That interaction. It is.
We got a little bit about what the stakes were what terms AR had kind of left her,
which
under.
Was a pretty sweet deal.
Sweet
for
deal
her.
Until her boss took advantage of it, and there was $111,000.
Gee, where did that
go?
Then
that's just millions.
Exactly.
And she's certainly not hurting, but obviously not receiving it. Mm-hmm. And but we talked about this at least 2 weeks ago when I was here. It sets up the perfect person to fill the void in Nucky's glove life. Mm-hmm. And we end the episode with Margaret sitting there in a very creepy fashion.
They're always good together.
And I think, I mean, before we get into like that was good together, I think they did a really good job of hiding the storyline at least a little bit, because how they... I'm we all knew that Margaret was going to be involved in this deal, that there was some sort of aftermath. What I didn't see is how that was going to tie into the bank, how that was going to tie into the suicide of her boss, and how all these things were going to add up to the weight of this $111,000 being on her shoulders and her responsibility. Because if they hadn't given us that in the previous weeks, it would have been really easy to make an excuse that this Caroline could have gone after the bank, that she could have gone after the boss. But they set it up so it's on her. And they hid that from me, which I think was
really the $111,000, was it her boss that was taking the money?
It seems what I got from it. Go right ahead, Charlie.
No, you go.
What I got from it is AR had this account. After AR passes away, the boss continues to make withdrawals, forcing Margaret to sign it off. So the boss has been having this money. Now boss is gone. The money is gone. Wife wants the money because it was supposed to be a closed account, and it is rightfully hers.
Right.
And who that money trail goes back to, can't sue the bank because it's bankrupt, can't sue the guy because he's dead, so it's going to the last person who has signatures, so it's going to blame on Margaret. That's what
right.
I got
that,
from
that,
it.
That's what I got, too, and that sort of made sense because why is Margaret, you know, even...
Part of this.
Part of it if she's making that much money.
And Margaret obviously doesn't have it.
Yeah, right, which is why she's at Nucky. And I love Nucky's last words to her, which I told... It was in the teaser for next week, just saying we're both a part of this, but only one person can solve it. I was like, okay, here we go again. We'll save it for predictions, but it was just interesting to see that relationship.
How great was Caroline, the wife of Rothstein?
Frightening. She scares me.
Yeah, she reminded me of a second grade teacher I had, so I was sitting uncomfortably in my seat for that.
But I think it speaks to your point about how hardened. She's a widow.
Mm-hmm.
She's dealt with his name being all over the United States, all over the papers, probably all over the world, and therefore her name ruined with it.
She has nothing.
Has nothing. So this is a lady who's just...
Does not care about taking anyone down.
Right, and dealt with him all those years, too. So she, you just see where she's just so hardened.
And what do you guys think about that when she says, how would you feel if your name was the notorious wife of the notorious gangster? What did you think she was threatening there exactly?
Oh, that...
That's going to be you, Margaret. That's going to be your epitaph.
Mm-hmm. Like, Margaret was trying to say that they're similar, and she's like, no, we're not similar yet, but we're going,
you're going to be,
and you're going to experience the worst of my life. You think you've had it bad. Also, that they added another female villain, like... I don't want to say a female villain.
You just did.
But give me another word or something, guys.
I don't think she's a villain. I think she's a foil. She wants her money.
She wants her husband's money. And we've seen, I think the last person who kind of filled those shoes was Jillian. Kind of likes to stir the pot.
Do you really think it's that much, or is it? I just think it's a matter of here's your money, go away. But now Margaret and Nucky are connected, and that storyline is back.
Oh, you think he's just going to be able to pay her off? I don't think Nucky has the money right now to pay her off.
I think he has ways of getting it.
But that's not something you can have in an episode.
But the lady, I think because it is AR's wife, I think she's very savvy, and I think this is not about someone's going to be punished. It's about I need to get my money, so. It's Nucky. He's going to figure out something, even if partners her into his business. I think it's a writer's tool to get them back together. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so that may answer this next question. Do you guys think there's enough time in this to address, the press and what she's essentially holding over bad publicity over the
I think has to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nucky's got to step up and he's going to have to fix it, and it's going to bring Margaret and Nucky together in some way.
Right. Or push them way far apart.
They're already in the same area now.
Yeah.
At least that has been done.
Right.
With a red dress. She's ready.
So, yeah.
Did you think walking into there, Margaret knew the extent of what she knew about her?
No.
Because she was taking on some Nucky qualities in that conversation.
She had the Nucky qualities even with the guys in the previous scene, the bankers. But I think she's learning, like, oh, my God. Like, no, this is big. It's bigger.
Yeah.
It's bigger than her That's why she has to go
to
Nucky.
She also didn't, you know, Margaret didn't know her audience as well as Nucky would have. Because she pretended like this, she'd never met this woman before, and the woman's comeback, Carolyn's comeback, is that this ring is from your party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know who you are.
1923, every, yeah.
I, this entire time you've been lying to me, and I know it.
Right.
Because I know who you are. So, yes, well, Margaret brought, was trying to take on the Nucky qualities, but she failed because she didn't realize who she was talking to.
And it brought me back to that episode, 1923, when this
with the
show, everything was so so great.
Gaudy.
The music,
yeah.
And yeah.
Roaring just, 20s in full awesome. Force.
And so sad.
Well, that ending there kind of ties into Nucky in 1897 and his dream. So let's dive into 1897. What are you guys thinking? Are you buying into this older storyline? Are you having...
I love it.
It's growing on me. It's like, at first... I mean, first episode was very much about, you know, where Nucky got his determination, work ethic, how he kind of gets involved in the business, where he stands on that, whether it's being honorable, whether it's being honest, how you play the game. Second one, we got a lot more background, family life, and then this one's like the love aspect. So I just feel like they're just filling out Nucky's character, like, bit by bit.
Boy.
And the tragic...
Boy.
I love that.
And the... tragic love story? Would that be what this one is? Or his...
I just think this is how he came to be. These are the things he saw, what he had to do work-wise, and how he came... Basically, how he came to be. The one,
love.
The Nucky, the Steve Buscemi Nucky that we're seeing, this is how it all happened.
Yeah, and you do see these major firsts for him, like 2 days after he sees his... probably his first naked woman, he sees his first naked dead woman. So it's this loss of innocence immediately for him. And he's emotionless. You know, we saw this when there were tears shed over his sister. His dad showed more emotion than him. He was always stone-faced when he was filling in the grave.
He just absorbs.
He does.
He absorbs everything around
him. And compliments to the young actor.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. Really incredible. What did you take about, I thought, you know, this is where the title of the episode came from, so obviously it's a big thing, what Jesus said. What did you guys think about the girl saying Enoch was in the Bible, he lived to, you know, 300 some odd years old.
365.
Old guy.
Also, a very interesting number, because that's how... many days are in a year.
It's true.
And that's how many years he lived before he walked with God and did not die. It's a very layered quote from a child who seems to have no idea what she's talking about. And I thought that was kind of crazy. It was also kind of eerie. I actually took that scene to be more serious than I wanted it to be.
Would you kiss the pony for a dime?
I'd do it for 5 cents. Think.
Well, Nucky
easy
would
money.
Do it for free.
Well, tell me, what was that all about?
Well,
all about?
Here's what I think. I think we've seen time and again in this season in particular a lot of religious compliments and having them directed at Nucky. Nucky's dad said it took his mother 3 days to birth him, you know, 3 days for the Nucky's bodyguard cuts off an ear of everybody who tries to get close to Nucky. In the Bible, you have I think it was Saint Peter who cut off an ear of one of Jesus' disciples, cut off the ear of someone who was trying to get him in the garden. So there are a lot of these symbols that come on, and I've thought this is getting out there, but he's sort of like the Messiah of the underground. You know, and this is pretty out there. So I'm just going to throw that out there and let it sit and not defend it anymore and just see how it plays out before I eat my words. I'm just like, there it is. I'll be over here because I don't want to eat my words in two episodes when it blows up in my face. But that's, I think the big thing here, though, is that he's not a religious guy. And we saw that happen when his father died, and the conversation he had with Eli was he doesn't really believe in it. And you see these seeds of maybe why he doesn't, because he's seeing all this evil happen over and over. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's got to be desensitized from everything he's seen. I mean, it seems like the brother was more sheltered from it, so he was able to kind of drink the Kool-Aid and be very Catholic and very religious. Mm-hmm. Whereas Nucky, it just seems like he's seen so many hard things that it's really hard for him to believe in anything.
Right.
Other than himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree.
Do you?
I feel like that was the point, is that he does see all these things and he is affected, and he doesn't show that he's affected by him and his way of dealing with his emotions. Then he puts all of this effort into the people he cares about throughout his life, which is tends to be women, which tends to be like the girls that he does. He carries so much around with them. Okay, and but, would that, do but, that, wait,
but that's
them.
Different from being religious. That's a humanist thing.
Yes. I agree that he's religious. But I'm just trying to, I don't want to ever say that Nucky's like unaffected, because I think he's a very emotionally affected person.
You're right.
It's not I'm not saying he's a religious person. I just don't want to put it out there that Nucky
let me say this. I think that the religious side of him is desensitized. Mm-hmm. The humanity is not. I mm-hmm. think that he has a humane side
yes.
to him.
Yes.
And then another thing I think we're going to find out, Joe Kennedy asks him, what are you doing all this for? And he's saying...
Oh, that was so good. Are we jumping to that? Are we getting out of 1897?
No, I think this is my segue. Okay. to it. And so feel free to keep talking about 1897, because I think they're related. I think in coming up, you're seeing all the hardness that he's seeing. And he does have, you know, a capacity to give back mm-hmm. a lot. But when point blank asked, which I don't think anybody's done, what are you doing this all before? He wants to leave something behind, but leave it behind for what? This is his childhood where he's creating mm-hmm. his purpose in the world. And now he's in, you know, coming to the last chapters of his mm-hmm. life, and it's, what am I going to leave behind? What's mm-hmm. it all for? And I think a lot of that was formed in the way he was brought up. I think that's why we're seeing 1897. And I think there's going to be a pinnacle point in 1897 where we see, like, that, you know, this is the climax of what it's all for.
Okay. I could totally see that. I could definitely see that coming. With his relationship with, if we're going to talk about him and Kennedy in this episode, and how we get to that point where Kennedy can not only ask the question, but Nucky mm-hmm. also answers, which I think was an interesting point in all the seasons, because in most conversations that we see with Nucky, I feel like he's always the one asking questions, or he's the one just giving you, rephrase that. He's always the one who's just very steadfast. He's in control of all the conversations. In all the conversations we got with Kennedy today, there was a lot of, like, wondering and like Nucky
yeah, he was
trying
one
to
step
figuring
behind.
Him out.
Yeah, no, Kennedy was in control. It was cool.
Yeah, and that was a lot displayed with the drinks. That was just displayed right. with their speech patterns, mm-hmm. how they were talking off each other. Where Nucky was like, it was almost like watching, him deal with the Commodore again, where he was trying to almost like pick his brain or learn from him, or he was just a little bit lower on the totem pole. And so that, all those conversations built their relationship up so that when Nucky answered him, I thought he was being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I thought that was a true answer that he kind of had to, not willingly had wanted to admit, but had to admit.
Right. I mean, first he said he wasn't interested in mm-hmm. doing it. And then he mm-hmm. and I think you're absolutely right about him learning from Kennedy the way he learned from the Commodore, because each 1897 sequence, the next sequence was a sequence with Joe Kennedy. So mm-hmm. They were really lining up the parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good find.
But
I love
the fact that, you know, Kennedy explains, you know, they're both Irish Catholic. That was what yeah. was interesting. And Kennedy was saying, listen, we can't drink because I can't build up that stereotype.
Right.
Nucky pushes the drinks away. Go ahead. Say what he's gonna say.
And it also kind of points to the fact that he's like, I've never broken a law, technically.
Well, and then we get yeah. there. And then I thought Nucky had a great response. Well, none you've been caught for.
Right. He called it technicality.
Which it was. Mm-hmm. And we know that from history that it is. But even when he said two seltzers, and he said, no, I want a tonic. So it's like he's just a little off with this mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. Kennedy, 8 kids, 9th on the way. He's building his little army,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting. All his little disciples that he was going to send mm-hmm. out into the world to become presidents and senators and influencers. And I thought when he said to him, you know, what is this about? What do you? I don't see pictures. I don't see. I thought it was Kennedy really almost being afraid to do business with this guy, because, I mean, I've had people that I've worked with that have no connections mm-hmm. to people, mm-hmm. and I've said, you know, I don't want to do business with someone like that. So that kind of person is scary,
right?
Because you have nothing to lose.
Right.
Nothing.
Well,
so it's very astute. I thought of Kennedy to mm-hmm. look around and see, you know, and we know that about Nucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it was a surprise for me when asked if he had kids. You know, he named off the two kids he hasn't seen in we know, years. You know,
I mean, he plays off every question. He plays off. He got the kid question. He plays off with names. He was asked about his brother. He pushed his back.
But Kennedy, it was fine. Mm-hmm. And he played it off, like mm-hmm. you said. But then when he got to his office, when they're up in the mm-hmm. chicken coop or whatever you want to call that area, that's when he pinned him down. And he said, where are the pictures? Where's this nephew you're so close to? Why don't I see anything? And he really unnerved him there. And it caught me off guard when he said, cut to the chase. Why should I work with you when I have other people? You just got there faster than me.
Right. Well, and I think we're going to see this talking down to Nucky almost in, like, you know, look at me. I'm a family man. I don't do anything against the law. Even when they ordered sodas and he got it wrong, he was like, no, I'll have a seltzer. And then Nucky goes, I'll have a Coca-Cola, you know, light and dark, you know, the dark side of it. And that symbolism.
By the way, I think, and it's so much of that throughout this episode, even with the mm-hmm. tea with Carolyn. She said,
black tea,
milk turns my stomach. There's so much black and white. And we know with race too. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And of course, good and evil.
Right. Right.
I mean, I know fans will call us out and say we're reaching deep. I don't think so.
No, I don't think that's really good writing. Whatever Mike says works.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he talk to us about last week?
Mike August?
Did Mike reach out this week?
I don't know. Ah. I have my phone on right here, and I haven't seen anything come in yet.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. Any final thoughts on Nucky and Kennedy?
Final thoughts on them. I'm going to have to think about it for a second. Because I'm going to be interested to find out if Kennedy ever meets Margaret. And if that's going to be part of the exchange. Because Margaret now needs Nucky a little bit. Or a lot bit. And if he can kind of prove that he does have a little bit of a family.
Well, true, but also we also got to see Joe Kennedy's hypocrisy to a degree. And we got to see
Kitty.
What a womanizer he is, which, you know, we know he had multiple mistresses, and at the end it was Gloria. I'm sorry, guys, I'm having a brain freeze right now. She starred in Sunset Boulevard, was supposed to be a longtime mistress of his. But we see that's his.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
where he's weak or, say, human, Nucky is just.
He gives Nucky the drink, and then he says he's going to take the milk to the.
Okay, continue, because I'm confused about this point.
Which point? The point about the women?
No, when he leaves the drink. When he leaves him with the drink.
Yeah.
Is that signifying? Because I was getting mixed messages. Because from him asking about Kitty, I was taking that as like, oh, maybe we can do business. And with him leaving the drink, I was taking that as, you can just have your drink and I'll be on my way. Like, this is your path and I'm not part of it. I was getting very mixed signals.
No, and I think you're right to get mixed signals because he was playing this higher than thou. Mm-hmm. And then
he's being Teflon. He's being ambiguous, I think, on purpose, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Just business-wise, was like, you know what?
So
I'm not going to show you.
Do you think this is happening or not happening?
I think he's leaving. Don't you think he's kind of leaving it out there?
I do. I think it's, personally, I think it's going to happen because I also think it makes a great story for why Nucky, I don't think he's just going to solve Margaret's problem. I think he's going to use Margaret to potentially, you know, bring this family thing together.
To deal with the Kennedys.
With Kennedys, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's my thought. And seeing as we're giving thoughts anyway, should we go into predictions?
Well, I think we should also just make a note to Doyle. Getting those bum workers and knowing that whoever the 16-year-old is going to be someone significant.
Yeah, a throw out to them and also a throw out to Mabel Jeffries.
Right, Mabel Jeffries.
Two throw outs. Not sure what they mean. Not sure who they are.
His first crush.
A little confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something.
And the letter he was looking at initially? That I want to just go back and check. I'll make a note to myself for that. But because I think it was significant to the letter he got in 1897.
The postcard.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right. With that being said, that's the sound.
Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
The ambient noise doesn't lie. Prediction time. Kevin, you want to?
I think it's going to be a great episode next week. I think it's going to be much more action-packed. We're going to Chicago, as we know. We see that Van Alden is receiving some heat from Chicago. He's a Fed, and they're all surrounding him. We do have one shot of Al hammering somebody with blood hitting his face, hoping it's not Van Alden. I'm predicting it's not, because I think that we need to see him till the end of this. I think that's going to be very interesting. I think we're going to see Margaret Nucky, obviously, like we talked about. They're going to get a lot closer, for good or for bad. I don't know, but I'm excited to see those two things. And we're going to have to see Harlem. I don't think we can skip an episode on the repercussions of Harlem, right?
I agree. Okay. I think we're not. I don't know if we're actually. Because I think we're going to get a death next week. And I think the death is either going to be a key player in Chicago. And I think it's. If we're going to pick one, it's going to be Van Alden. And it's either going to be Van Alden or it's going to be Sally. I think both of them are in dangerous situations next week. That's and I right. only think one of them's making it out. I'm not sure.
I'm okay seeing Sally go. I haven't known her long enough. Mm-hmm. I'd like to keep Van Alden and some of the other people.
I would too.
Tremendous actors, so it'll be.
Yeah, I think Van Alden, you know, he's been such a dynamic character throughout it. If he does go, we're probably going to see him very early on in the episode next week, building up a backstory for him, I would think, or a little bit more of one, because that's, I feel like what they do a lot, they build him up to let him die. but I think that, you know, like we talked about earlier, I think Chalky is going to come in and sort of take over in Harlem. I think it's...
You think that's going to already happen next week?
No, not next. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a little bit further down. But okay. I think we're going to see more steps to it. I also think he's going to get in touch with his family.
I think that's where he lands. Yes, that's long-term prediction. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that. It's neat. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's neat. It's clean.
And I think that there's going to be a lot of... you know, family dynamic, which we don't always get in this show, but there's a lot of great.
There will be. What are your predictions for next week, though?
Next week, I see it being Van Alden, to be honest. I think he's going to get it. Oh. I hate to say it, but they've been playing it up for 2 weeks now, so we'll see. Okay. That's it. That's all
I'm going to do. That's a prediction. Okay.
Kevin, where can we find you?
At Undergaro. Sarah's Radio Silent on social media.
But you can find me here at AfterBuzz or at AfterBuzz. Anatomy Movie.
Yeah, I do Sons of Anarchy. And what else do you do?
At AfterBuzz?
Yeah.
I do Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right. And
then I do Schmoes News.
And you do Schmoes Know. But this is the only TV show. This is the only AfterBuzz show.
Right now, this is my only AfterBuzz.
You do Schmoes Know, Box Office Breakdown.
Box Office Breakdown.
And Anatomy of a Movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Perfect. All right. And I am Charlie Behrens. You can find me at Charlie Behrens on Twitter and Instagram. And that's it for this week, guys.
Thanks, Stephen.
Woo!
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen's manning him back. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.